The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, our next two guests have spent all of their working lives in publishing. Michael O'Brien of O'Brien Press and Svetlana Paronko of Betimes Books have been together for over 10 years, but work in different parts of the industry. O'Brien Press has published over 2,000 books. Svetlana runs a not-for-profit publishing company, and she's just secured a deal with a major international network for a TV series. You're very welcome to the programme. Together, you have a life in publishing. It all sounds very cerebral, comfortable even. Is it like that?
Publishing is the maddest game in town. It's just full of stupid risk, and you have to be a literary fanatic to be in it, or you have to have some other reason than making money.
What about you, Svetlana? Is it tough?
Oh, yes, it is. It's a bit like gambling, but you have to get lucky. But I think if you work hard enough for it and if you have ideals and knowledge and taste, it's not impossible.
So going back to how you both got involved in your own businesses and your own strands of publishing, what about you, Michael? What brought you into publishing?
I didn't want to be a publisher at all. I was an environmental activist. I was one of the occupiers of Wood Quay, you know. I decided to create a book about Dublin falling down, and I presented it to Gill and Macmillan. They rejected it, and I thought that was really stupid, so I did it myself. And then there were other.
How did it do?
It sold out. I was able to buy a little house in Wexford with the process. Then I thought it was really easy after that.
You know. So you were able to buy a small house in Wexford with what you made from that one book.
Yeah, because I got 100% of the proceeds.
Now, your dad had set up a printing business. So when you wrote your first book and it went well, you decided it was going to be books for you, did you?
Well, he set up a printing business because he was a communist and he couldn't get any jobs. And John Charles McQuaid used to bump off people. Like, you know, he would get people sacked, you know.
So metaphorically bump off,
yeah,
I presume.
I would, no. But you know what I mean? I would say to my dad, you all ended up as capitalists because you had no choice, you know.
And he was a communist.
He was a playwright, and he was a poet, and he fought in the Spanish Civil War.
So he was on the, I presume, on the anti-Franco Republican
side. Yeah. So I grew up with that kind of radical thing.
And were books in the house when you were growing up as a child?
Loads of books. Loads and loads of books. There were no children's books. That was another thing that I was unaware of until somebody asked me that question. He told us stories every night. He was a brilliant storyteller. And I honestly believe my hand in my heart that he knew that the books were propaganda, like Enid Blyton and all that, you know. And he sussed that. And now there's a big scandal about it, about Enid Blyton and, the right-wing posh thing, you know. The stories were stories he made up himself, you know.
So then when you decided to go into publishing after the success of your first book, did your dad help you out with that because he had a printers?
Well, my dad had a secret ambition to start a publishing house but never said anything about it. That generation were incredibly private. And he knew Padraig O'Donnell, and he was working on a biography of Padraig O'Donnell, which was published, the first two books, in 1974. My father actually dropped dead after the first two books were published.
You know? So you were on your own then?
Well, I had to decide whether... We had set up the O'Brien Press, but it wasn't really activated. The decision was made. And it was one of the biggest decisions of my life, was whether to be a publisher or an artist, and went for publishing, you know.
Svetlana, Michael mentioned there about his dad was a communist. In your own background, you grew up in the Soviet Union, Kazakhstan?
I grew up in the Soviet Union, but I didn't get a very kind of orthodox communist education. My family suffered during the Stalin's repressions. And they were deported from Crimea to the Urals for political reasons, and only after Stalin's death they could get back their full citizens' rights. And so obviously it left an imprint on the family history and on my education.
You moved to Paris?
Yes, I moved to Paris at the age of 24. It's a literary story, actually. When I was 12, I read Hemingway's memoir, A Movable Feast, and it made a huge impression on me, and I started learning French then. It was a little bit complicated because it was still the Soviet Union, and as you know, the Iron Curtain was
still
there.
Does a little bit complicated mean you had to break out or you had to go to bureaucratic lengths?
Well, I went as a tourist and stayed with a student visa because I was admitted to the Graduate School of Translation and Interpreting. And so I was in France legally from the French point of view.
So you were living in Paris in 89 when the Berlin Wall came down.
Yes.
The Soviet Union broke
well,
up.
Yeah.
How did you feel about all that?
Well, I was delighted, of course, and I wasn't really surprised because I knew that it was going in this direction, that it was impossible.
Could you have gone back to visit family before 89 or 90?
No, I couldn't go back for several years, nearly 5 years, because I had no Soviet passport anymore.
So you obviously had a love of books from an early age, a love of languages. When did it really start to take shape that that's where your career would be?
I remember my grandfather saying that I must have been 7 or 8, and I said that I would be an interpreter. So he reminded me that when I became one. But my first love was books and literature, because I did literary studies in Russia. I decided to go into publishing in 2000.
You were living in Paris when you first met Michael. Michael, you went to Paris to a book fair, was it?
I was invited to a conference, a children's book conference in Paris with two other Irish authors, you know. And it was partly run by the agency that Svetlana was working in, you know. And they were showing them around, and I'd been around it loads of times. So I got introduced to this new person called Svetlana Peronko, you see. And we were talking for about, must have been half an hour, intensively. I was fascinated by the similarities there that surprised me. And one of the things I said to her was, you should be selling Russian rights, and I'll give you a book that's guaranteed to sell Russian rights. And it was on called for the wish list. And she did it. It sold the rights. And then the agency took up selling Russian rights.
So was it a sort of a business deal before it was love at first sight? Was
yes,
it?
Absolutely.
Was it Svetlana? No?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
What did you think of this Irish publisher arriving at the children's books event?
Well, we obviously had a lot in common, but it took a few years before our relationship evolved into something else. So it wasn't immediate.
Am I right in saying that there was a family connection with the Crimea?
My mother's father came from the Crimea, and I was very anxious to go to the Crimea. You know, for me, it was like I could hear somebody calling me to the Crimea. You know, I had a dream about it. After a number of years, Svetlana said that her father and her grandfather grew up in the Crimea, in the very same town as my grandfather.
But you didn't know that until for many years?
No, and I was gobsmacked when she told me that. Because, you know, it felt right. I don't know, I couldn't explain it, but you know, it just felt that we were joined at the hip and didn't know it or something.
Have you both gone?
Oh, yeah, we went in 2014,
yes,
wasn't
a few
it?
Years ago.
And, you know, the sanctions and all the crap, you know, about that, the sanctions are completely unjustified, absolutely unjustified, you know. And when we went there, we were told that our credit cards would stop and our mobile phones would cease, and exactly what happened.
They did?
Yeah, exactly what happened.
When you look at the business, Michael, children's books, I mean, how many books have you published or do you publish per year? And children's books are a big part of that, aren't they?
Well, in the last few years, in fact, I was just looking at our list for this year, it's nearly 50 books, and about half for children and half for adults.
Svetlana, tell me a bit about your business, because your publishing business is not only totally separate to Michael's, it's totally different. You're looking at serious pieces of fiction from very serious writers that, that may not necessarily get published by one of the big publishing houses, but yours is essentially a not-for-profit model, am I right?
Yes. I started it as part of the agency, not as a separate company at the beginning, and then I got hooked on publishing, and the most encouraging thing was probably the recent television deal for one of the books I published 2 years ago called The Dark Manual by Colin O'Sullivan, who is an Irish writer but living in Japan.
So there are TV rights. You've sold TV rights to make a program based on that book. What's the book about?
Well, it's speculative fiction set in the near future. So it's a reflection on artificial intelligence. And it's a very, very topical subject, I believe.
And you have sold the TV rights, is it to a well-known TV production, a content producer, or sort of like a Netflix or an Amazon or a Disney? Or?
So it's one of the household names, one of the big, more recent
someone
international
like a Netflix or an Amazon or a
networks,
Disney that we would
yes,
have heard
exactly,
of.
Yeah. One of those.
You can't tell me which
and
one.
I can't tell you yet, very soon, hopefully, because I'm bound by the confidentiality clause, but this deal is in a very good place, so we're very confident that it's going to happen, and I will be able to tell more about it soon.
You must be delighted. Michael, over the years and all the books that you've published, have any of them been converted into TV or film rights or anything like that?
We had Brendan O'Carroll and Angelica Houston making The Mammy.
Oh, yes.
Which is based on our book.
Yeah.
And it was a big thing, you know. And also, do you remember Cahill, The General?
Yes.
There were two films made about The General.
And they would have come because you would have had, you published a book about the life of The General.
Yeah.
In those sort of business models, I mean, when you look at, you mentioned Brendan O'Carroll and the Agnes Brown character, I'm sure you'd love to have a slice of Mrs. Brown's Boys, given its success.
Yes, well, we have the exclusive right to them, actually, you know, and we sold them all over the world. The film rights was a separate deal, but we were involved in it. And it was made in Inchicore, and Angelica Houston had to learn a really Dublin accent. It was the funniest thing you've ever seen. You know?
Did you meet her at the film?
Yes. Yes, and we had a lunch in the Gresham Hotel, and she brought me right up and said, "This is the man who published the book."
Right.
Yeah. Got a bit of a celebrity, you know.
I'd say you enjoyed that.
I was, she's great.
Svetlana, you're smart. You're putting your eyes up to heaven at that point.
Well, I suspect he had a crush on Angelica. I wasn't there.
Oh, I see. Right. Oh,
that was well before we met.
In your business, Svetlana, one of the folks is around authors. Am I right in saying that's one of the things that makes it different?
Yes.
The authors get a bigger slice of royalties than they
yes.
would do.
Yes. The idea is to allow literary authors to not only to get published, but also to hopefully make a living from their books, not only from sales, from
typically of the royalties.
Well, 50% of net receipts on all income from domestic or export sales, and 80% for the author from foreign rights sales.
Richard, Michael, are you in that league? No.
No. That would be the highest royalties in the world, probably.
It's more than you pay, Michael.
Much more.
Is your communist dad turning in his grave?
I don't know.
You say that,
yeah,
no?
It could be. But in fact, what Svetlana's doing is amazing because it's really all about the writer.
But for you, running a business that's not a not-for-profit business, you couldn't make
no,
that
No, we'd
work,
go bankrupt
basically.
in 1 year if we did that.
What about working together? I mean, they're separate businesses. You're together. You must inevitably talk about you're doing.
Yeah.
And but Svetlana, you never wanted to work for O'Brien Press.
No. No.
That's very emphatic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, because also maybe I have always been doing my own thing, and I hope to be able to continue to do it better.
What about you, Michael? Do you just talk to Svetlana and say, oh, that's crazy, I'd never publish that, or I would, or could we have that writer?
I'm amazingly kind of impressed by what she's doing. You know, and what is incredibly courageous, you know, to probably the highest royalties in the world, you know. I suppose I would love to publish literary fiction, but we really can't afford it.
When you look back, publishing has obviously been a big part of your life, Michael. You never thought about writing beyond the original book that you did with the illustrations. How did your parents feel about the decision to go into publishing?
You know what? I'll tell you. When my mother was 80 something, right? My mother was Jewish, right? But she was an atheist. She gave up all religion. And I got the job of going to see her to ask her where she was to be buried, right? And I went over and she said, oh, that's an easy, I'm with Tommy, you know, with my father in Mount Jerome. And she said, but I have a much more important question for you, Michael. And I said, what is it? When are you going to start doing something worthwhile with your life? And this was, we were 25 years old and we were one of the leading publishers. And I said, but I thought you were really proud of O'Brien Press. And she said, yeah, I am, but let's face it, you don't write the books. And I said to her, so what would make you happy? You know, you have to make your mother happy, right? And she said, some art form where you would be working to the absolute height of your talent without any conditions. And I said, would painting be okay? Because I was painting. Yeah. She says, Michael, it would be a good start.
So you're still working on that challenge.
I'm still working on that project.
And what about the future, Michael? You have two sons in the business. They're happy to do that in terms of, I'm thinking of the succession and O'Brien
Press. Yeah, the
succession
is there, and it's quite rare in publishing in Ireland. You know, an awful lot of publishers are going to disappear and have already disappeared, actually. You know,
is it a tough fight, given that it appears to be an industry that's increasingly dominated by big players?
Yeah. You see, when the British came in and you know, the thing, they came in to nab all the profitable bits and leave all the other stuff to us, you know, that's what happened. We are a unit where we do everything ourselves. We're profitable, but so thin. Like, you know, it's embarrassing. You know, if you ask somebody in the business world as a model, they'd say you're nuts.
Svetlana Peronko and Michael O'Brien, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.